देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतीरुत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्ठिकी। श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 11 चैप्टर 3 एंटाइटल्ड लिबरेशन फ्रॉम द इल्यूजरी एनर्जी टेक्स्ट नंबर 36 नैतन् मनो विशति वाग् उत चक्षुर आत्मा प्राणेन्द्रियाणि च यथा अनलम् अर्चिषः स्वाहा शब्दो अपि बोधका निषेधथायात्मा मूलम् अर्थोक्तम् आह यद्वृते न निषेधसिद्धिः। नैतन्मनो विशति वाग् उत चक्षुरात्मा प्राणेन्द्रियाणि च यथा नलनम् अर्चिष स्वाहा शब्दोऽपि बोधक निषेधायात्मा मूलम् अर्थोक्तम् आह यदृतिना निषेध सिद्धि। नैतन्मनो विशति वाग् उत चक्षुरात्मा प्राणेन्द्रियाणि च यथा नललम् अचिर्ष स्वाहा शब्दोऽपि बोधक निषेधतायात्ममूलम् अर्थोक्तम् आह यदृते न निषेध सिद्धिः। नैतन्मनो विशति वाग् उत चक्षुरात्मा प्राणेन्द्रियाणि च यथा नलनम् अर्चिष स्वाहा शब्दोऽपि बोधक निषेधतायात्ममूलम् अर्थोक्तम् आह यदृते न निषेध सिद्धिः। Naitan. Na. Cannot. Etat. This supreme truth. Manaha. The mind. Vishati. Enter. Vak. The function of speech. Uta. Not. Chakshuhu. Sight. Atma. Intelligence. Prana. The subtle air supporting life. Indriyani. The senses. Cha. Or. Yatha. Just as. Analam. A fire. Archishaha. It sparks. Swaha. Own. Shabdaha. The authoritative sound of the Vedas. Appi. Even. Bodhakaha. Being able to indicate by verbal reference. Nishedhataya. Because of denying such. Atma. Of the Supreme Soul. Moolam. Basic evidence. Artha uktam. Express indirectly. Aha. Thus express. Yad rite. Without which. Supreme. Na. There is not. Nishedha. Of the negative statements of the scripture. Siddhihi. Ultimate purpose. Translation and purport by the disciples of Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation. Neither the mind nor the faculties of speech, sight, intelligence, the life air, or any of the senses are capable of penetrating that supreme truth. Any more than small sparks can affect the original fire from which they are generated. Not even the authoritative language of the Vedas can perfectly describe the supreme truth, since the Vedas themselves disclaim the possibility that the truth can be expressed by words. But through indirect reference, the Vedic sound does serve as evidence of the supreme truth. Since without the existence of that supreme truth, the various restrictions found in the Vedas would have no ultimate purpose. We are reading this purport since last 2 days, and the third part of this lengthy purport begins from the below paragraph. According to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, in this verse, Sri Pipalayan is more or less describing the impersonal feature of the Absolute Truth. The 9 Yogendras were themselves the devotees of the personal feature of the Lord. So King Nimi asks his question about the different features of the Absolute Truth to clarify that the personality of Godhead is the source of all variegated aspects of Advaya Gyan or Transcendental Reality. This is also expressed by the following statement in Shruti. Tam tu Aupanishidam Purusham Prachami. I am inquiring about the that Supreme Person revealed in the Upanishads. If the Absolute Truth were actually inaccessible by words, there would be no meaning to the Vedic literature, which consists of collections of transcendental words. Since the Vedic descriptions of truth are to be taken as infallible, it is impossible to maintain that the power of speech in all cases, unable to describe the truth. After all, the Vedic mantras themselves are meant to be spoken and heard. Therefore, the injunction that neither the mind nor speech can approach the absolute truth cannot be taken as applicable in all cases. Rather, it's a warning to those who foolishly try to encompass the absolute truth by their own puny speculative powers. Since the Vedic injunctions, either positive or negative, are to be taken as realistic descriptions of the absolute truth, the process of hearing and repeating the Vedic knowledge, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu, can be understood as a separate process in which one's hearing and speaking power becomes spiritualized by submissive reception of transcendental knowledge. This process depends upon one's faith in bona fide in the bona fide spiritual master who is a devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore it is said that yasya deve para bhakti yatha deve tatha gurav tasyaite katitha yartha prakashante mahatmana. Only unto those great souls who have implicit faith in both the Lord and the spiritual master are all the imports of Vedic knowledge automatically revealed. Shvetasvatara Upanishad 6.23. As the Lord Himself states in the Hari Vamsha, Tat Param Paramam Paramam Brahma Sarvam Vibhajate Jagat Mamaiva Tad Gnanam Ghanam Tejo Jnatum Arhasi Bharata. The Supreme Truth Param Brahman expands itself into all variegatedness of this universe. You should know it to be my own concentrated effulgence, O Bharat. The word Gyatum Arasi, you must know it, spoken by the Lord, indicate that the absolute truth is to be known. But one must surrender to the truth rather than waste time in foolish speculation. Srila Vishnuacharya Thakur has pointed out that according to those authorized statements of the Vedic literature, the Lord's transcendental form is understood to be Brahmamai or completely spiritual with no trace of material contamination. Therefore, in such statements as Nilot Paladala Shyamam, the Lord's form is beautifully manifest with the hue of dark blue lotus petals, it is understood that a dark, transcendental dark blue color is being described. Still, the Lord being inconceivably merciful to devotees, even those on the neophyte platform who are trying to come to the state of love of God. Therefore, the Lord gradually purifies the senses of conditioned soul who is trying to understand Him. And eventually, the Lord appears before such a rectified servitor. According to Srila Vishwanatha Thakur, Prakrita Nilotpala Varnetvena Bhakter Dhyatam Atadrasham Api. In the beginning, being conditioned by the previous materialistic activities, a devotee meditating on the Lord's transcendental form may base his meditation on his experience of material forms and colors within this world. The Lord's transcendental form has nothing to do with these material forms and colors, but since the object of his meditation is Krishna, such meditation will eventually be transformed into transcendental experience of the actual form, color, activities, pastimes, and entourage of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In other words, the transcendental knowledge depends upon not only material logic but also on the pleasure of the personality of Godhead. If the Lord is pleased by his sincere devotee's sincere attempt to understand him, the Lord can immediately circumvent the so-called technicalities of material logic and Vedic injunctions and reveal himself to his pure devotee. Unless one accepts his omnipotency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there is no hope of approaching the absolute truth. Therefore, it is stated in Katha Upanishad, Drishyate tu agraya buddhya, that absolute truth is seen by transcendental intelligence. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Swami Thakur has pointed out that a knowledge acquired through the interaction of the material senses with the modes of nature is merely hypothetical and not factual. Empirical knowledge deals with our ephemeral experience of the sense objects generated by material nature. For example, there are many wars currently going on because of false concept of nationalism. Similarly, there is a conflict throughout the world and the great leaders fight like cats and dogs for the economic development of their countries. Thus, material language is used to designate temporary objects perceived by the eyes, nose, tongue, touch and taste. This type of language and experience is useless for approaching the absolute truth, but the transcendental sound from the spiritual sky has a completely different effect. We should not foolishly try to use materially concocted language to include the Supreme Personality of Godhead as an object of the material world. The Supreme Lord is completely transcendental and is known as Atma Prakash or self-manifested. Therefore, as stated in the Padma Puran, Atashri Krishna Madina Bhravet Grahya Mindrai Sevan Mukhehi Jiva Dav Soyam Evasparati Yada. Material senses cannot appreciate Krishna's holy name, form, qualities and pastime, but when a conditioned soul is awakened to Krishna consciousness and renders service by using his tongue to chant the holy Lord's holy name and taste the remnants of Lord's food, the tongue is purified and gradually one comes to understand who Krishna really is. If one surrenders to the Supreme Lord, taking shelter of his lotus feet, one's spiritualized senses gradually become empowered to perceive the Lord. Mere empiricism and material logic have a limited jurisdiction within the external energy of the Supreme Lord. It cannot apply to those which are eternal. In this regard, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Swami Thakur has quoted the following verse on the Srimad Bhagavatam. Naisha mati stavad urukramangrim sparishati anartha apagamo yad artha mahiya sampada rasho abhishekam nishkinchananam na vrinita yavad. Unless they smear upon their bodies the dust on the lotus feet of a Vaishnava, completely freed from material contamination. Persons very much inclined towards materialist life cannot be attached to the lotus feet of the Lord, who is glorified for his uncommon activities. Only by becoming Krishna conscious and taking shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, in this way one can be freed from material contamination. Although Sri Pipalayan is expressing that the absolute truth cannot be approached by material senses, the sage himself is describing the absolute truth with transcendental senses. And King Nimi is able to understand this transcendental sound because he has surrendered at the lotus feet of the pure devotees, the Navayogendras. Therefore, one should not foolishly try to understand this verse out of context in an impersonal way, but should try to follow the example of King Nimi, who was trying to understand how Supreme Personality of Godhead is ultimately the source of everything. Om Agyanti Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrachatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhamitamscha Namom Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Nitinamine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschate Deshatarine Vancha Kalpaturu Bhyasya Kripa Sindhu Vevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama This verse is very detailed understanding, indicates the intent very clearly, how Krishna is transcendental. That means whatever we have acquired in this world as resources, as senses, as the faculties of developed mind intelligence, it is not enough to even approach Krishna. So then Prabhupada would often say that I have given everything in my books. And what does that mean, I have given everything in my books? Information? Logic? All kinds of expressions, realizations. I have given everything in these books means I have given everything in these books for a person who wants to qualify to see and understand Krishna. Everything is there in these books does not mean that everything in the books will come to me just because I open the book. Because spiritual life is beyond collections of the verses in the Vedas also. It is beginning from the collections of the various verses compiled by Srila Vyasadeva. But definitely it goes beyond that, because when Srila Vyasadeva has compiled so many of the limbs of the Vedas, he is still not satisfied. And therefore Narad Muni comes and says that you have address all the various faculties of bodies and mind, how one should gradually approach the Lord. But exclusively glorifying Krishna would require more advanced state of meditation. Therefore, it is very easy to access the Vedas on different levels. Therefore, Vedas are there for people to be accessed on different levels. And therefore, those who can qualify to approach Srimad Bhagavatam, everything is there in Prabhupada's books. In fact, for those who even can't understand the Vedic statements, still everything is there by which one can understand the Vedas. How is that? Because the words, even the words of this world cannot explain the words of Krishna. Satartha, Krishna, meaning continuation of existence. That which continues to exist, that which continues that existence, that which sustains the existence is Krishna. How Krishna sustains, how Krishna maintains, how Krishna destroys is the subject matter of even Bhagavad Gita as well as Srimad Bhagavatam. So therefore, to approach Krishna is to see Krishna approaching us. And therefore today we'll discuss about how Krishna approaches us is how we can understand how we can approach Krishna. By how Krishna approaches us is easy to understand how Krishna would expect us to approach Him. The first incarnation, the Matsya Avatar, approaches to the medium of water. In a body of water as a fish to King Satyavrata. And in this way, he explains or he tries to indicate, he invites the king to take note of Krishna's existence through continuous expansion. The fish is expanding. The fish is expanding for a reason, for the upcoming annihilation to come. He is preparing the king in these dire times of service. So Krishna responds, or Krishna begins his relationship with his devotee by indication. In fact, Krishna takes this form of a fish playing in water, sporting in water, just to rescue the Vedas. And imagine the three things that he exhorts the king to rescue are the Brahmanas, are the seeds, and the Vedic knowledge. So Krishna comes because Krishna wants to continue this existence. Why? Because he wants the living entities in this existence to stop this continuation of existence. Therefore he has numeral avatars coming. He doesn't have one avatar and say everything. He has different avatars and says different things. Why? Because times change, the context changes, but the message remains the same. But the way Krishna gives the message is also different. Therefore Krishna gives messages in different ways to the king to rescue the Vedas. Why? Because this alone would save the humanity. And therefore we'll find that Krishna appears in various forms, even as Varaha Dev. He lifts the Mother Earth, the Bhumi. He contacts first in Matsya Avatar, the Panch Mahabhut, water. And then he contacts Mother Earth. His relationship with us is through his creation. The living entities cannot survive without his creation. And therefore, Krishna relates with us, with all this wonderful creation around us. Even when Narsingdev appears, he appears with a ethereal connection. First his sound is heard through the ether, and then his form is seen. Similarly, we find all the other incarnations
actually relate with us through His creation. Therefore, creation of Krishna is Himself Krishna. Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita also how the five elements, Bhumir, Apo, Nalo, Vayu, Kham, Mano, Buddhire, Vacha. So, a devotee is being exhorted that where is the possibility of not seeing Him? Beginning from Rasopso Kaunteya to Punya Gandham. Everything actually is Krishna in pure state. Therefore, when Akrur is also trying to go to Vrindavan to fetch Krishna, he is going as a messenger of Kamsa, but as a lover of Krishna. How can this be? How can be one be executing the order of a demon but still love Krishna? This is what Krishna makes very practical. That however, one may externally be disadvantageous in one's life, however one may be serving the dictates of this evil Kali Yuga, still one has to have the prerequisite sincerity to approach Krishna. And therefore, Akrur, when he approaches Krishna, he is meditating on Krishna, how he must be looking. He has not seen Krishna. But through sincerity, through the eyes of his devotion and service, he is confident that Krishna will understand him. This confidence that Krishna will understand me is the basic qualification to understand Krishna. To feel that Krishna may not understand me is actually doubting Krishna's greatness. And that's how even a Akrur, when he sees Krishna, Krishna does not see him with that intention that he's come as a messenger of Kamsa. So, it all depends upon how you see, is how others will see you. Someone just wrote a nice blog and he was telling that, he was recounting his childhood memories where there were some kind of anti-social elements in the college. So he was a very innocent student, and there was a very anti-social thug, another student whom everybody used to fear. So then when this person was walking through the campus and seeing this boy who was known for his antisocial activities in the college of bad repute, so he began to see him, oh, this thug, this gunda, this don. So he didn't see anything. He just happened to see him that way. And then this boy, this goon calls him, come here. And he's like shivering, what have I done? I have not said anything. He said, why are you looking at me like this? Maine tera kya bigada hai? What wrong have I done to you that you are seeing me like this? Chal phut. So then he goes and says that, of course, this person has done nothing to me till now. Only that I have heard that he is like this. And because I have heard that he is like this, I have started to see him like that. And because I have seen him like that, he understood that. And he called me. He said, aisa kya dekhta hai? Maine tera kya bigada hai? Then he realizes that in life, we get someone to be in a way that we want that person to be for us. How personal it is with a person in this common day affair. Just mentally look at someone with that way. That person will start mentally feeling for you in that similar way only. Can you imagine if a person in this world is so sensitive to mental suggestions? How Krishna must be sensitive from our own end. So when Akrur goes with confidence, Krishna is also confident of Akrur's relationship with him. And therefore, however one may feel so low and so fallen, in one sense, Krishna is always looking forward to us. Krishna is never morose. When a devotee comes in front of Krishna, and suppose he is, and his own mind is full of moroseness, then he finds that there is no life in the deity. There is no life in relationships. There is no life in our own existence. And therefore, the lack of confidence is lack of faith. And that faith only comes when one develops a constant stream of seeing Krishna in everyone and everywhere. One cannot just be with Krishna without being with his creation, without being with his created beings. In fact, when the famous story in the Upanishad of Satyakam, Jabala. Jabal is, in those times when Gurukul people used to go to visit the teacher used to ask, which Gotra? Which Gotra means, what kind of influence you will carry amongst the fellow students? So then, he was asking this Jabal, that what is your Gotra? So he said, I'll go home and ask. He went and asked his mother. Prabhupada gives this story. But then this story has a wonderful understanding. This Satyakam goes to his mother and asks, who is my father? And she says that, I have met so many men and I do not know who your father is. So Jabal is shattered. He's thinking what to do. Should I go back to Gautam Rishi and tell him, or should I just be embarrassed, become morose by what my destiny has brought to me? What did he do? He went to Gautam Rishi. He told, my mother does not know who my father is. And he spoke with such confidence. Can you imagine? Someone who does not know his identity, like we have to fill form and don't know what to add beyond your name. Can even go and start filling that application? But he is going to the guru's home and is saying, I have no name beyond my own name. And this is the truth. Gautam Rishi saw that this quality of Jabal, of truthfulness, is indeed Brahminical. He doesn't have to have the family qualifications, but rather his qualification that he is willing to speak the truth and willing to even feel embarrassment for speaking the truth. This quality of his Brahminical nature is suitable for his being a student. And therefore, this Jabal became Satyakam Jabal, and he became a great rishi who wrote Jabal Upanishad. How? Why and how is very simple. Because he had the Brahminical qualification of Satyam, Abhayam and Satyam. And therefore, he was qualified to become a Brahman. Guru decided that this will be a Brahman. I have to groom him like a Brahman. Though he does not have his Gotra, still he can do that. So, how confidence builds up on truth is very important. And therefore, the Vedas are required for logic and reason to arrive at that platform of truth. Janmadi asya yataha. When you know that everything is coming from Krishna, you have to be situated on the platform of truth. That truth has to give you faith. That faith has to give you confidence. And that confidence will bring that strength of relationship with Krishna. And therefore, even Krishna interacts on this level. Krishna also interacts with the living entity on the platform of truth. Whenever he interacts with any living entity, it is only the platform of truth that he interacts through. If you want to have Krishna in our life, we have to have truth by our side. Pandavas by default, they were with Krishna because they were with truth. They didn't have to look out to relate with Krishna. The truth that they followed, the path of dharma that they followed, was enough that Krishna would be by their side. Krishna does not choose sides. Krishna only is on one side. The other side is Krishna's maya. By default, one has to choose that truth, irrespective whether it is going against the whole world or not. If Jabal had to say something which was like too embarrassing for him, it was enough for him to be truthful. It is very embarrassing or very, very depressing when it is in the mind. But when it expresses as truth, it becomes glorious. It becomes celebration. Therefore, truth cannot be interacted in vacuum. It has to be interacted in relationships, in vyavahar. Therefore, any knowledge which does not become vyavaharik, any gyan which does not become vyavaharik, it becomes an obstacle to truth. Imagine Kubja in a way that she approached Krishna. Now she is a hunchback lady, she is carrying ointments. But when she sees Krishna, she wants to give it to him anyways. The truth has awakened that I have to give it to Krishna. And to give it to Krishna also will require courage. The first platform is the clarity. The second platform is courage. And then comes confidence. So first platform is clarity, that here is someone who is worthy of it. Therefore I must approach. And not even that, whatever I have may be offered to him. So Krishna also saw Kubja in that sense only. As she began to see Krishna to offer him all the ointments, Krishna also thought about how will I benefit her. It was happening simultaneously. It was not happening that after she gave, Krishna thought I must give her benediction. Seeing Kubja's mind, seeing Kubja's intent of truth, Krishna already had decided that I am going to make her beautiful. Seeing Vibhishan, Ram had already decided that he is enthroned the king of Lanka. He had made up his mind. Krishna's logic is based on truth. And our understanding of Krishna also has to be based on that same truth. However difficult, however against the norm it may be, Vibhishan had to go against all his relationships till date. Akrur also had to go against the residents of Brajvasis. Going against the Prema Bhaktas, can you imagine? How much he was cursed for that. And definitely he went through all of that pain also because of that. But did he stop interacting with Krishna as was the need of the hour? Therefore, Akrur, the way he approached Krishna, is how Krishna approached him. Krishna also showed Akrur the whole universal form. He showed his 400 form. The Balramji showed his form as Ananta Shesh. How wonderful that was. How confident that was to Akrur. It gave him a sense of connection with Krishna, more stronger. Had he not taken that journey to Vrindavan and thought how sinful it would be that I am going to take away Krishna from Vrindavan. We always meditate of Krishna in Vrindavan, but Akrur has gone to Vrindavan to break Krishna's stay or to take away Krishna from Vrindavan. How will Krishna see him? Will Krishna see him in the way that, oh, he is taking away from my Leela? In fact, whenever Krishna saw Akrur, he saw that Akrur is bringing me close to my purpose of descent. I am now going to go finally to kill Kamsa for which I have appeared in this world. So Kubja is representation of Mother Earth. And what Krishna sees is beyond what he is seeing Kubja. He is seeing the burden on earth by which the earth has become bent and has become burdened in all the places. So actually by straightening up Kubja, he made her more beautiful. He made the Bhumi Devi more beautiful. So Krishna interacting with Kubja was also on the level of the expansion of Satyabhama as Mother Bhumi. So when Krishna interacts with anything in this world or anyone in this world, it is on levels of truth. The more we come closer to these levels of truth in our life, the more we see Krishna being very closely connected to us. In fact, Krishna's peace mission, when he goes after pacifying Draupadi that I am not going to make a peace agreement. And to Arjun and Bhim, he's saying, I'll try my best. They're trying, oh please Krishna, try to avoid this war. Draupadi wants the war. Why? Because she wants the rectification. So when Krishna goes for the peace mission, he goes with Daruk and Satyaki with all ready for war. He takes all his chariot, horses, elephants as if he is going for a war. But when he goes to meet, he meets Vidur, he meets Kunti, then he goes and the next day when there is the whole assembly, there is Krishna who is trying to tell Dhritarashtra and Bhishma that please try to make Duryodhana understand. And at one point of time, he is so arrogant. So Krishna tells the story of how once there was a quarrel between Garuda and Indra. Garuda was saying to Indra that see how powerful I am. That I am the carrier of your younger brother. I can hold him. I can fly him anywhere. See how strong I am. They were trying to prove a point. Garuda was trying to prove a point. They were saying how strong I am. So immediately Vishnu came and he just rested his right arm on Garuda's wings. And Garuda collapsed. All his feathers flew off. And he could not even get up. Garuda realized that there was no meaning to one's pride and arrogance. And he prayed to Vishnu to beg forgiveness. Vishnu benedicted him back again. He said, good that you have learnt your lesson very quickly. So Kanva Rishi comes and Narad Muni comes and tells Duryodhan, just as Garuda was so proud and arrogant that Vishnu taught him a lesson, Duryodhan should not follow the path of pride and arrogance. After all this, as Krishna is telling that stop your son, If the need be, arrest him. If this is required to save the Kuru clan, arrest him. Now imagine, Krishna is telling to arrest Duryodhan, and Duryodhan has walked away from the assembly with Dushasan, Karna and Shakuni, and he is making a plan to arrest Krishna. How everybody sings with Krishna? Duryodhan could think of arresting Krishna if Krishna is thinking of arresting Duryodhan. That means ye yatha mam prapadyante is so strong principle, is an eternal principle. If Krishna thinks of some living entity disagreeably, that living entity will think of Krishna disagreeably. Can you imagine how subtle is that? So he comes, Krishna understands that, and Krishna manifests his universal form, which is only seen to Bhishma, Dronacharya, Sanjay and Vidur. Only four could see it. The rest could see only effulgence. But there's Brahma coming from the front, there's Rudra coming from the behind. On the left was Bhima, right was Arjun, behind was Yudhishthira and the other Pandavas. There's host of Gandharvas, a host of Yakshas and all the Devatas. And Krishna walked away. He walked away in anger. Not before then he met Kunti. And Kunti is giving a message to Krishna. Tell Yudhishthira Maharaj not to become weak. A king is responsible for bringing the golden age. The golden age does not arrive by his own volition. A king who brings Satyuga gets unlimited residence in heaven. A king who brings Treta Yuga gets limited version of heaven. A king who brings Dwapar Yuga or ushers Dwapar Yuga like environment actually just reaches heaven. And some king who allows Kaliyug to prevail, he is to rot in hell. How Kunti brings away? Because Kunti realizes that Yudhishthir has been thinking very weakly, very meekly. So Krishna is going to be the messenger of Kunti, because Krishna is actually the Paramatma in Kunti's heart, wanting to give the message to Yudhishthir. And therefore Krishna does not just stop here. He further interacts with Karna. Because Krishna knows the war will stop if Karna declines to fight. Now every day in this world of politics, defection and anti-defection is constantly going on. Krishna is constantly making that change happening. So he goes to Karna and talks to him. See, any son born before the mother's marriage, the father, the husband-to-be of that lady after marriage, the son becomes the son of that father. That means you are the son of Pandu. Become your son of Pandu, the Pandavas will accept you, you be the king. But Karna has a different chemistry of relationship. He has become too obliged by a material relationship. He cannot see Krishna coming in, giving him such a fantastic opportunity. And so, actually Karna is asking Vyasadeva, I had all the good qualities. Why is that I was thrown into abject condition like this? He says, it was only because of your association with Duryodhan. That was your only one bad flaw, that was only flaw in your character. Had you not this one, your life was absolutely wonderful. You would have been rewarded for all your qualities. Therefore, it is better to have an honest, a sajjan as an enemy, than to have a wicked person as your friend. A honest person can tell you an honest, and a person who is your enemy, if he is honest and a sajjan, in a very very noble minded person, he will not destroy or you because he has character. But his friend who is a wicked person, even though he is your friend, he will actually cause your destruction. There was a Hamsa and there was a crow, Vyasam, on a tree. And there was a Pathik who had come to walk and he was trying to rest under the tree in the very hot sun. So there were some few rays of sun penetrating through the leaves and coming over this Pathik. So the Hamsa spread its wings and gave shade to that Pathik, so that the Pathik would not get the direct sun rays. But this Vyasam was the companion of this Hamsa on the same tree. What did this Vyasam do? The crow. The crow came and spat stool on this Pathik. Why? Because a Durjana cannot see happiness of any person. Has to do something to create misery for someone. So Hamsa is thinking of doing good to everybody and this Vyasam is thinking what to do that will give pain to others. So then what happens? The Pathik gets up, takes his bow and arrow, shoots at the Hamsa. Why? Because Hamsa is seen spreading. Why? The Vyasam has fat the stool and flown away. And Hamsa is thinking, I have done so much for this Pathik. The Pathik kills the Hamsa. Three stories, three lessons from this story. First is that a good person always shows daya for everybody. The wicked person only brings, is only loves to take pleasure in seeing pain of others and creating pain for others. And third is that such a good person should not stay around a wicked person. Karna was like that. He was with Duryodhana, who was like a Vyasam. Karna was a Hamsa. But unfortunately, he had to be killed. Krishna gave chances for everyone. Krishna gives chances to everyone. But Krishna does not give enough chance. Therefore, this opportunity of human form of life is extremely rare. It's vulnerable to loss. And one should be able to see before that time passes. And therefore, this is how so wonderfully one can see that the same Rishi, there's another Rishi, Uttanka Rishi, who was meditating in the forest of Dwarka, in the desert of Dwarka. So then he happened to see Krishna and he came from his meditation after a long time and he said, how are the Kauravas and Pandavas doing? He asked Krishna. And Krishna said, the war is over, everything is annihilated. The Kauravas are killed. Only Pandavas are surviving now. He said, how come you did not stop this war? You were there, you could have stopped this war. And he started to curse Krishna. Krishna said, I did all my best. I did the peace mission, everything was happening. Then he came to realize that, oh, actually Krishna went for that peace mission. Then he was saying, Krishna, I am very sorry, I did that. Krishna and said, then he asked for a benediction. What benediction? Please quench my thirst in this desert. Whenever I am thirsty, please arrange for me to quench my thirst. So Krishna said, Tathastu. So once he was meditating and then he was very thirsty. He was, as soon as he was thirsty, a chandal came with a leather bag with his dogs and he was able to, was about to give him water and he denied drinking water from this chandal. And he said, Krishna, what kind of way to fulfill and the benediction? Should I drink this water from this chandal? So then he was very disturbed and then Krishna appeared. Along with Krishna appeared, this chandal was Indra. He said, Indra came to give you nectar. But you could not recognize that he was awarding you nectar. You happened to see only externals. You began to judge people. Therefore, what is the value of your knowledge when you begin to judge? And therefore, if you cannot see every living entity as being mine, how can you see when I come in front of you? So you cannot appreciate what Krishna gives unless we appreciate what Krishna has already given. And one should know what Krishna has given. The access to truth, the truth itself, the happiness of following that truth, being with the truth. And therefore dharma is that which sustains this truth. He has given everything for realizing this. And then he prays and he is again remorseful, regretful. He says, Krishna, just give me this benediction that there is rain in this desert. And every creature gets the benefit of this rain. So earlier benediction was that I should become quenched. If I am thirsty, my thirst should be quenched. But now when he realized that I have to see everybody as belonging to Krishna, he said, please give water to this rain. Please give water to this desert. And therefore, still now it rains in that desert of Dwarka, that place. Those clouds are called as Uttanka clouds. And this is how Uttanka Rishi develops his maturity from being a Rishi to a yogi. A Rishi is a person who is fixed in his tapasya, who knows the truth, but a yogi who actually lives the truth and leads the truth. And that's how it is so wonderful to realize that relationship with Krishna, which is actually not the words in the Vedas actually. It is beyond the words in the Vedas, but it is applied in life. That becomes the truth. Mahajano yena gata sa pantha. Therefore, very difficult to ascertain the truth. And therefore, he said that to follow the truth or to understand the truth, one has to follow the path of this great souls. Akrur, Kubja, and Vibhishan, who lived by the truth and they led the truth from front. No compromise, clarity, courage, and confidence is the sequence by which one can actually develop such a dynamic relationship with Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Granth Rashi Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.